بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله.
So the Hujjaj now spend the night on Muzdalifa. That was the last that we spoke yesterday. So the night on Muzdalifa is the night just before Eid al-Adha. So they either spend the entire night, which is the great sunnah, or they can spend half of the night. So after that they move to Mina to felt Jamaratul Aqaba. It says here, ثُمَّ يَرْمِي جَمَرَةَ الْعَقَبَةِ بَعْدَ طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ بِقَدْرِ رُمْحٍ وَكَيْفِيَّتُهُ أَنْ يَقِفَ مُسْتَقْبِلًا الْقِبْلَةَ وَإِنْ اسْتَقْبَلَ الْجَمْرَةَ فَلَا بَأْسَ وَيَرْمِي سَبْعَ حَصَيَاتٍ رَافِعًا يَدَهُ وَيَقُولُ مَعَ كُلِّ حَصَاتٍ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ عَلَى طَاعَةِ الرَّحْمَنِ وَرَغْمِ الشَّيْطَانِ. So he says he felt the jamara after the rising of the sun. This is the sunnah if you stay the whole night. So then you will make fajr and all of that, and you'll only felt after the sun has risen. And the sunnah way is to felt the jamara in such a way that you face the qibla while felting the jamara. But should you face not the qibla but another direction, it's also okay. It does not affect the validity of the felting of the jamara. And it must be felting. He must lift up his hand and actually felt it. It must be a movement from his hand throwing towards the jamara. It must be individual stones, seven of them. And with each one it is sunnah to say Allahu Akbar or Bismillah Allahu Akbar. Where you felt the jamarat with each throw, you say that particular dhikr. نعم فإذا رمى قطع التلبية والتكبير إلا تكبير عقب فرائض الصلوات. We mentioned this yesterday. The moment that he starts counting the jamarat and he says the first Allahu Akbar, at that moment the talbiyah stops. No more labbaik Allahumma labbaik. You switch over now to takbir. Takbir now becomes the dhikr that a person mostly does for that day. Day of Eid, and of course the days that follow also, days of Tashriq. Like it is for those people who are not on Hajj, they also make takbir after the salah and in the roads and in their gatherings, wherever they are, they make takbir. So the Hajj also switches over from talbiyah to takbir. He says, then after that, ثُمَّ لِيَذْبَحَ الْهَدِي إِنْ كَانَ مَعَهُ وَالْأَوْلَى أَنْ يَذْبَحَ بِنَفْسِهِ. Then the slaughtering of the animal takes place, for those who need to slaughter an animal. And if you can do it by yourself, then that is good. If not, you obviously authorize someone else to do it. And this is mostly the case, because most people can't get out to the place where they are slaughtering. So you basically authorize someone else to do it on your behalf. And so once the jamarat has been pelted, then a person can then flip his hair or her hair, and the person is then partially out of ihram. Everything becomes halal now. And wear ordinary clothing, perfume can be applied, the nails can be clipped, everything becomes halal. The only thing that still remains out of bounds is intimacy with a spouse. That is still haram, and that only becomes halal after the person has finished and completed the tawaf, which is called the tawaf of Hajj or tawaful ifada, which is the most important tawaf for the entire journey of Hajj. So this tawaful ifada, what is the earliest time that people can make tawaful ifada? What will be the earliest time that people make this tawaf? It will be after the second half of the night, when the jamrah is finished completed, you go to Makkah, right? The night before Eid, in other words. That will be the earliest. Right? Anybody who makes tawaful ifada before that, it is not valid, because you can only make tawaf after the second half of the night, because that's the earliest that you can tell the jamrah, and after the jamrah you make tawaf. And normally those people who go that time immediately after the middle of the night, and by the way, the middle of the night does not mean 12 o'clock. People think it means 12 o'clock midnight. No, it's not 12 o'clock. You have to calculate the amount of hours between Maghrib and Fajr, and the middle of that will be middle of the night, not necessarily 12 o'clock. So when the people then move that time, you find that the tawaf and the very first few moments after the second half of the night It's very easy because it's very empty. Most people are still on Muzdalifah, some people are felting and so on. So people ask the question that if you felt the Jamarat, can I first go to the hotel and freshen up and put on ordinary clothes and all of that? Yes, you can do that because you're obviously out of Ihram now. So in other words, you can make tawaf al-ifadah in ordinary clothes, not in Ihram. That's possible. However, we always try to advise people, if you want to make tawaf comfortably without being in a lot of crowd, then it is best just to move immediately after the counting of the Jamarat. Don't delay. Because the longer you take, the more full it becomes. And it virtually becomes full by the minute, not by the hour, by the minute. So if a person is from the first batch, alhamdulillah, I got it like that already, that first batch of people that comes to make tawaf, it is extremely empty. You can make tawaf comfortably around the Kaaba, next to the Kaaba, touch the Kaaba if you like. Right? Hajar al-Aswad even becomes easy. But after that, each half an hour, each hour, just becomes more full and more full and more full. So sometimes people, they only get to finish their tawaf on the day of Eid, not even on the morning, maybe in the afternoon of Eid, because it's so full, and they have to wait, and they have to take their time to make the tawaf. So that is the earliest that tawaf al-ifadah can be done, and so once the tawaf has been done, the person then follows it up with the sa'i of Safa and Marwa, that goes with the tawaf. Those people who came in with a Hajj of Ifrad and Qiran, we explained this before, only Hajj, Niyah for only Hajj, or Niyah for Hajj and Umrah combined, they came in the first time not with the Umrah, but they came in and they made a Sunnah Tawaf, which is called Tawaf al-Qudum. Okay, that is only for those two types of Hajj, not for Tamattu. So those people who did Tawaf al-Qudum for Ifrad and Qiran, they were able to do their Sa'i of Hajj there already, if they wanted to, and bring it forward. So now when they do tawaf al-ifadah, they don't have to repeat the sa'i. Sa'i is done. But if they did not do the sa'i with tawaf al-qudum, then it must be done now after tawaf al-ifadah. And then we see that the actions on the day of Eid, which includes now the pelting and the tawaf and sa'i, the cutting of the hair and slaughtering of an animal, those are the main events that must take place on the day of Eid. Or on the night of Eid. We find that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very accommodating when it comes to the sequence of those events. Can you like bring forward some events and delay some events of those that we've mentioned now? The pelting, the tawaf, sa'i, and the cutting of the hair. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very accommodating. People asked him lots of questions on that day. They said, O Prophet of Allah, I first made tawaf before I felt the jamarat. He says, okay. And then he says, if'al wa la haraj. Do that, there's no problem. Each time they ask him a question, if'al wa la haraj. Do that, there's no problem. And that's why the ulama say the deeds, the actions that must be performed on the day of Eid, the sunnah is to do it in that tartib, to first felt, cut the hair, do the tawaf and sa'i. Then that is the tartib. But if you switch around, for whatever reason, it will not invalidate the deeds of Hajj and on the day of Eid. You can switch around. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam allowed for that. And there's a lot of hikmah in that. Because then the crowd sometimes, they are not all at the same place at the same time. Some people go tawaf first, some people belt first, some people, right? So all of that is fine, especially for those a'mal that is done on the day of Eid, al-Adha or the night of Eid. Right, then the sunnah is, once a person is done with the tawaf and the sa'i, then you basically the main part of your hajj is done. The only duty that now remains is two things. Number one, you have to go back to Mina to spend 2 or 3 days on Mina. And the last thing that you must do is you must do tawaf al-wida', which is a farewell tawaf. So going back to Mina, what is the sunnah? When must you be back on Mina? What is the time frame? It is sunnah to be back on Mina on the day of Eid as soon as you are done with the tawaf and the sa'i. Soon as you can. So, in other words, if you can make dhuhr salah on Mina, the day of Eid, then that is the best option. That is the sunnah. To be back at Mina as quick as possible. Okay. What if a person is not back on Mina for the whole day? Doesn't come back dhuhr time, asr time? Now, there's a I've got a few things that I call, that I call in my own mind, I call it Keptonian fatwas. So there's a Keptonian fatwa that says that if you don't go back to Mina at Maghrib time, then you're in deep trouble. And it says that if you do that, you must pay a dam also. That is untrue. There is no such thing. Yes, you must be back at Mina on the day of Eid as best and as quickly as possible. But let's say you cannot come back, not even Maghrib time. You came back after Maghrib, let's say. No problem. There is no dam for it. Because as long as you spend most of the night on Mina, even if you come after Maghrib. Right? So the requirement is to spend most of the night on Mina. There is no dam for somebody who delays, although the sunnah is to come back as quickly as possible. Okay. So now you're on Mina on the day of Eid, you spend the night there. The following day will be then the 11th of Dhul Hijjah. This is the day that you will count the Jamarat. And here you will count all three Jamarat, and not only Jamarat al-Aqaba like we did the first time, starting with the small one, middle one, and Aqaba will be at the end. So that is done for day 11 and day 12. The sunnah is, in fact the requirement is that it must be done after Zawal. You must start with the counting after Zawal. Well, the authorities in the years that have passed, they have changed that where they give you a time to go. They don't allow you to go on your own time, but they give and assign a time. In that case, you follow the time that they give, whatever time it is, because they are in charge and they know better how to control the crowds. So if they give you a time, you go that time. But if you can, make it after Zawal, then that is best. Because the requirement is, it must actually be after Zawal on the 11th and the 12th day. Then on the 12th day, if a person wishes to leave Mina, he can. He doesn't have to count on the 13th day also, he can leave. But the rule is that he or she must leave the grounds of Mina before Maghrib on the 12th day. You must leave before Maghrib on the 12th day. If you are still on Mina, and it's Maghrib time on the 12th day, then you are forced to stay for the 13th day also. Then you cannot leave any longer. You must sleep over, and you must count the Jama'at again on the 13th day of the Tashriq. Three Jama'at must be count again. Some people ask, okay, I counted after Asr on the 12th day, so my intention was to leave. So I got my things, I got prepared to leave, etc. But because of delay, not because of my own doing, but because of delay or crowd or something when I'm resting, I was looking for something. But I was in the motion of going, but I got delayed until Maghrib. But my intention was not to stay. Can I still leave? Even if Maghrib, yes, you can leave. Because that was not part of your intention. Right? You mustn't intentionally, in other words, be on Mina at Maghrib time on the 12th. If it's done unintentionally, not in your hand, then you can still leave for the job. Allah says in the Quran regarding this, فَمَنْ تَعَجَّلَ فِي يَوْمَيْنِ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ. Those who go quickly after 2 days, there's no sin on them. وَمَنْ تَأَخَّرَ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ لِمَنْ اتَّقَى. And those who delay, there's also no sin on them. Of course, the delay here means to do the 13th day of the counting as well, 13th of the Hijjah. So once a person has done that, everything is complete. He then returns back to Makkah. And the last thing that a person will have to do is the tawaf al-wida', and that a person does just before a person leaves the grounds of Makkah. Don't do it long before, just before, and you try not to do anything after that, except leave towards the airport or to wherever you're going to travel. And that will conclude then the Hajj that the person has performed. For the Umrah, people do ask, is there tawaf al-wida' for Umrah also? Yes, according to the Shafi'i Madhab, there is tawaf al-wida' also for Umrah. Because what does wida' really mean? It means to bid farewell to the Ka'bah. So you bid farewell whether you're Umrah or whether you're Hajj. Make tawaf al-wida' also as a last ritual before you leave the grounds of Makkah al-Mukarramah. So that brings us to the end of the discussion on Hajj. What we're going to speak about in the next few days is we're going to speak about the spiritual aspects around the Hajj. Right? Those were all the rituals or the deeds that must be performed and how to do it. The next few days we want to speak about the spiritual side of it. What is the bigger picture? What is the meaning that we are supposed to get out of all these things that we mentioned? Right? What is the internal thing? What are the you know, what is the objective behind these things? Like if you tell the jamara, is it just like stone that you throw in? Maybe the tawaf, if it's just like a movement around a block building, what is it all about? There must be a bigger understanding, right? So that is what we want to discuss, which Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah alayhi, calls al-a'mal al-batina, the internal actions that must be done. External is your physical action. Internally, there's understanding, there's a heart, there's perception, all of that must also be in depth as far as the a'mal of Hajj is concerned. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.